of the End Time series. If you've missed the other six, it might be hard for you to make full sense of what I'm talking about today. Perhaps we could have a bit less volume, Jez. It seems a little bit loud to me, I don't know. But they're all on the church website under the podcast section, and you can follow the whole series. One leads on to another, and there's a lot of material that we're trying to get through, so I can't cover it all back and back, you know, from previous versions, so you have to listen if you want to catch up. Last week we did an introduction to a time that's called the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. And we're going to continue that today, and then also next week, because there's so much material. I was planning to finish it today, but when I started, my notes became very long, and I decided to cut it in half. And so the Great Tribulation, you can read about it in several books of the Bible. Jesus talks about it. It's there in the book of Daniel, in the book of Zechariah, but particularly the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, most of that book covers the last 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. And it's the most dramatic and decisive final chapter of the age-long struggle between the devil and God for the control of planet Earth. It's been going on, of course, since the Garden of Eden. Through the Old Testament, there's been the devil opposing God and trying to gain control, and then Jesus came and so on. And it's continued to our day. But all of that will come to a great and terrible crisis in this time that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. And we're told in at least 6 different places in the Bible that this period of time is actually limited time-wise to 3.5 years, or 42 months, it said in another place, or in another place, 1,260 days, or another place says time, meaning a year, time times and half a time, which adds up to 3.5 years. So it's going to be the most intense time on the planet. And we're thinking last week about how just in 2 events, and there's going to be a lot of terrible events, but just in 2 events, over half of the world's population will die, just in 2 of the terrible events. In today's numbers, that's about 3.5 billion people. So just in that's 100 times more intense than the Second World War. And that won't by any means be the end of the death, the global destruction. Jesus himself actually said, if those days had not been cut short, nobody would survive. The difficulty, the trouble will be so intense that God has limited to it to 1,260 days. Otherwise, Jesus said, there'd be nobody left alive. It's going to be such a difficult time. And in those terrible 42 months, we're going to see 2 great and terrible opposing agendas that break forth on the world scene at the same time. So the first one of those is Satan's last great push for global domination. He wants all the world to worship him. He wants control over every person. He doesn't want any of God's people left on the planet. And he brings that about through his appointed Messiah, his leader, the Antichrist. And at the same time of that, we're going to see, in a way that we've actually not seen in history, probably since the time of Moses, God actually physically, in a manifest way, fighting to take back control of the earth. We're going to see God fighting against the kingdom of the Antichrist, destabilizing his rule, demolishing his physical and economic infrastructure, defeating his armies, and ultimately wiping out evil and evil people from the planet. Some people read some of the things that happen in the book of Revelation, and they think, It'd be terrible for Christians in those days. Actually, that's God's war against the Antichrist and his kingdom. And we'll talk more about how it is for us as Christians a little bit later. And so at the end of the process, God actually physically installs his king into the leadership of the world. He'll become the king of the nations, Jesus, ruling from his capital city, Jerusalem, where he will literally rule over the governments and the countries, the kingdoms of the earth, for 1,000 years. It's a period of time called the Millennial Kingdom. And we will have a session on that in a couple of sessions' time. So we're just going to look at the big picture. We can't cover all the detail because there's so much about the first of those two agendas, the Antichrist's quest for global domination. And for those that missed it, we had a full session about the Antichrist, who he was, where he came from. I'm not going to go over that. Just to recap very briefly, the Antichrist won't appear to most people to be evil for at least the first half, if not the first three quarters of his rule. For most people, it'll seem that he's the greatest political ruler that has ever lived. The word Antichrist, it can mean opposed to Christ, but it can also mean instead of Christ, in the place of Christ. And he's one who the world will think, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is the great ruler. He'll bring peace to nations like there's never been. He'll bring economic prosperity and he'll unite countries that previously were implacable. He starts off as a junior member of a 10-nation confederation. And then we're told clearly that he'll remove three other leaders in the process of his taking control of that 10-nation block. He'll take control of a large area of Europe and the Middle East, formerly the Roman Empire. And from that place, he'll spread his control until a large section of the earth will come under his control. Now, we don't know if the Antichrist will actually control all of the world. Some scriptures talk about him controlling every nation and every tribe. Other scriptures talk about other nations that oppose his rule. And so exactly how that is, we don't know. I'm sure at the time we'll see clearly who he is and who he's in control of. And then at a certain point, when his power is strong enough, when he feels secure in his power, when he can't be overthrown, a certain event will happen, what the Bible calls the abomination that causes desolation. And this event's important because this is the thing that actually starts the clock ticking on the last 42 months. And when this event happens, we can actually start counting the days until Jesus comes back. It's actually numbered 1,260 days from then until Jesus comes back. So it's an event that's mentioned in at least five different places. There are the scriptures, Daniel 9, Matthew 24, Mark 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation chapter 13 mentions it clearly. And it's this event called the abomination that causes desolation. And basically what happens is that the Antichrist is sitting secure in this global power, whatever he controls, so many nations, and his grip on power is so strong. He came to power, people thinking he was a wise, benevolent leader who had everyone's best interest at heart. And then at a certain point, he'll take off that mask and we'll see what he was actually like. Now, the same thing happened in history with Hitler. Those of you that have studied history will remember that in the 1930s, the people of Germany, certainly, they thought Hitler was their messiah. They thought he was going to bring greatness back to their country. And he was elected. In fact, there were elections where he actually won 92% of the vote. 92% of the German population voted for Hitler. Now, if they'd known what he was actually like, they wouldn't have voted for him. But in his early days, it'll be the same with the Antichrist. Everybody thought he's going to sort out all the world's problems. He's got all the answers that nobody else has. He's a strong leader. We need this strong leader to follow. And everybody voted for him. It'll be like that with the Antichrist. But at a certain point, when Hitler felt secure and he had his hands firmly on the levers of power, he couldn't be dislodged, he actually unmasked, he took off the mask and people could see what he was really like. And that event, or the unmasking of the Antichrist, is this event, the abomination that causes desolation. And what will happen is that at a certain point, unexpectedly, the Antichrist will set up an image of himself, firstly in the Temple of Jerusalem, and then it'll be spread out across the world. And he'll demand that people worship him. That seems weird in our time, doesn't it? You know, can you imagine worshiping whoever it is? You know, this guy who's been the president, and now he's actually saying, you have to worship me. Here's my image. It seems very strange to us, but that is actually going to happen, literally. And if people refuse to worship, if they refuse to bow down and give their obedience to this ruler, then they'll be actually killed. That's what the Bible tells us. And it tells us in many places. Here's a couple of scriptures in Daniel 9:27, 2 Thessalonians 2. He'll oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God. He'll set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So we read about it more clearly in Revelation 13, that he'll, in one day, he'll overthrow all the religions of the world. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, a day will come, Christianity, Judaism, where he'll say, you've all been doing this, but now I demand that you all worship me. And those who don't worship me will be outlawed. You say, well, how could he actually do that? How could somebody overturn all the religions of the world? Well, there's this thing called the mark of the beast that I'm sure we've all heard of. And the scripture says this, that he, the Antichrist, he forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands and on their foreheads, so that they couldn't buy and sell unless they had this mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. There's going to be a worldwide system that will be compulsory for every inhabitant. And I'm sure it'll be sold to us as a great technological advance that is needed to bring stability to the world. It'll enable everyone to function in the modern world. It'll also make it possible to completely wipe out crime. I'm sure that's what we'll be told, because everything that every person does will be trackable. So your personal finances, the Bible tells us it'll be impossible to buy and sell without getting this mark. There'll be no more money, no more £10 notes or pound coins. It'll all be linked to this mark on your hand. You'll just have to go into a shop, you'll get your things, and then instead of giving your credit card or handing over money, you'll just hold out your hand. That'll be linked to your bank account, and the transaction will just happen. And so there'll be no possibility for anyone to steal money anymore. That'll become impossible. No possibility to counterfeit money or for criminals to launder money, because it'll all be trackable. It also means that every financial transaction will be able to be traced to the person who did it. So you can't finance illegal terrorist organizations. There'll be no underage buying of alcohol, no paying for illicit sex. No one will be able to avoid taxes because it'll all be there on the government computer. And so everything to do with money will be linked to this particular mark. It'll also be your personal identification, your personal key into the world of healthcare, education, work, travel, and everything like that. Every system you need to be connected to, that's how you'll do it. So if you want a job, like now you can't get a job, a proper job, without a national insurance number. Unless you have a mark, you won't be able to have a job. You won't be able to be paid wages. You won't be able to travel overseas. That'll be your passport. If you want your children to go to school or to university, you'll need the mark. If you want healthcare, to go to the doctor, to go to hospital, you'll need your mark. Perhaps even for electronic access into buildings, your workplace and your home, to drive your keyless car, it'll all work off that personal identification. And at the same time, I'm sure it'll be a personal location trip, so that we'll be told that we'll be able to wipe out every crime, because they will know who was at the scene of that crime at that particular point. No child will ever be able to get lost again. Your husband will never be able to have a secret affair because you'll be able to track him. And so, you know, all these things will be there in the same, in this one mark that will be on people's hands, perhaps invisibly. Who knows how it will be? We don't know that. But without the mark, unless you take this mark, you won't be able to have any food. You won't be able to have any health care. You won't be able to buy anything from a shop. You won't be able to pay for your electricity. You won't be able to pay your council tax, so you'll be evicted from your home. You won't be able to keep up your mortgage. You won't be able to use any phone, access the internet, watch television, drive a car. The police will be able to stop anybody. Just scan them and they'll instantly know who they are and all their full employment and financial history, all their phone calls, where they've been, who they've been with. So you can see why governments would want this sort of thing, so that they can control everybody. The downside is that to get this mark, you have to worship an image of the Antichrist. It says in the book of Revelation that he forced all people to receive a mark. It wasn't a voluntary scheme. He forced all people to receive this mark. Maybe it'll be a voluntary scheme to start with, who knows? But in the end, it becomes compulsory. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of talk, what is this mark and what's this 666? And really, the honest answer is nobody knows at the moment. But the Bible tells us that those of insight, those who are prayerfully asking God for understanding, they will understand in that day. It says, let those with insight, let them calculate the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. The number is 666. Now, I'm sure we won't all have 666 tattooed on our hands. Maybe it'll be three series of six digits. Who knows? One controlling your finance, one your location and your identity. Who knows? At the time, I'm sure we'll recognize it. The Bible has given us enough information so that we'll recognize it when it comes along. And you can just look on the internet, there's been all sorts of fancy interpretations trying to tie 666 with different people in history. Nero, you know, if you write out the name in Greek, the Emperor Nero Caesar, it comes to 666, so people say. And Muhammad, that was another one, Napoleon, Hitler. But none of the historical characters that people have tried to tie 666 to have forced people to have this tattoo on their wrist and on their forehead. So it's never happened in history. It could never have applied to anybody else in history. And even today, it's actually still technologically not quite possible yet for this to happen, because in 2019 there's only 64% of the world's population that actually have access to the internet, and a system like this, it couldn't work without the internet, basically, without global linking of computers for an instant identification and an instant update on your finances. So we're safe at the moment. The bad news is that by 2025, they believe that the entire world will have internet access. And there's at least three global plans by these guys. Elon Musk is the guy on the left there. He's with his SpaceX, he's putting 10,000 satellites that will make this worldwide net by the year 2025, and he's on track to do that. And then, you know, for him, if he does it first, he'll have the control of the global market, basically, of the internet. Facebook has another plan, the Facebook drones. They're building hundreds of those that will fly in a 60-kilometer radius, and they'll provide internet. And then Google have their own project called the Loon Project, where they send these big balloons up to the edge of space, and from there people can access the internet. So within 6 years, for the first time ever in history, it will actually be technologically possible for something like this to happen. I'm not saying it will happen in 6 years' time, but it couldn't have happened up till now. But within probably all of our lifetime, this will actually be possible. Now, only God knows when it will happen. And I'm sure when it happens, it'll be crystal clear to believers that this is the 666, and churches everywhere will be saying, prophetic people will be talking about it. As you pray about it, the Holy Spirit will give you, that inner sense that this is something we need to think about. Because God wants us to have this choice. At the end of the day, it comes down to this choice. If you couldn't buy food for yourself, if you couldn't access doctors, if you couldn't work, if you were going to be thrown out of your house, would you bow down and worship something that you knew wasn't God? I'm sure there'll be many churchgoers, you know, who will think that God will forgive them. They'll say, God, you know, you can't mean that I should die, surely. And so, you know, in my heart, I love you, but I've got my children to look after. I've got to do this, otherwise I can't live. And they'll bow down and, they'll worship him. And from the devil's point of view, this is his way of getting control of God's people. I'm sure that there'll be a lot of political activists that the Antichrist won't want opposing him. He'll use this to get rid of them as well. You know, if they don't bow down and worship, they'll be got rid of. There'll be Muslims, Buddhists and others. But the Antichrist is particularly concerned about the people of God, because it's actually through God's people that God has an invitation to come and work on the planet. You remember that in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, God gave mankind control of the earth. God actually delegated the control of the earth to his people. And so in one way, God can't actually just come and do whatever he wants on the earth. He actually needs the permission of people like you and me, through our prayers and through our working, to come and work. They say God has no hands but yours. He has no feet but yours. Well, the devil thinks, well, if I can just remove all of God's hands, if I can remove all of God's feet, if I can remove all of those praying people from the earth, then I will be able to take full control. And so really, this thing is the devil's way to try and stamp out God's people. It says there in the book of Revelation, The beast, that's the Antichrist, that's his nickname in Scripture. He was given authority for 42 months, or 3.5 years, to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. See that now, we'll talk about that in a minute. He was given authority over every tribe, people, language and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist sets up his image, that will be the beginning of the greatest persecution of Christians in history, compressed into these 42 short months. And it goes on, that scripture we just read said, if anyone is to go into captivity, they will go. I'm sure there'll be huge camps set up, like the concentration camps of the last war. The Bible says people will go into captivity. If it's their destiny, if they won't bow down, some will go into captivity. Some will be beheaded. They'll be killed with the sword. And it says this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Now, I'm sure most of the world that bowed down, they won't in their heart believe that the Antichrist is God. I'm sure they won't. Maybe some will. But for most people, they'll just do it out of convenience. They'll think, well, I don't really like him, but what choice do I have? You know, I've got to feed my kids, I've got to work, and so on. So they'll just nod their head, even though in their heart they won't believe it. And the Antichrist is happy with that. He doesn't mind that. Because those who really know God, they can't do that. And he's just looking for those who really know and follow God. And as I said already, I'm sure some churchgoers will bow before the image of the Antichrist and hope and pray that God forgives them. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible says this, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury. And it goes on to say, they will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of his holy angels. The smoke of their torment will rise forever. In other words, they'll be eternally separated from God. They'll go to hell, in old-fashioned language. And again, it says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of God's people. So it's going to be the greatest persecution in history. The Bible tells us that many will be martyred in Revelation 7. John has a vision of these martyrs. He saw them as a great crowd that nobody could number. There were so many of them, they couldn't be counted. Millions of people from every tribe, nation, people and language. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe and language. They were wearing white robes. And then John asks, who are these people? And he gets the answer, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. In other words, these are the ones that have been killed. You know, they've been martyred in this time, the great tribulation. The Antichrist thinks he's got rid of them. Actually, they haven't been got rid of. They just moved house out of this terrible place, this terrible world, into the wonderful presence of God. Some are martyred, some are imprisoned, and then there'll also be those who escape, those who experience miraculous deliverance. And for many believers, it'll be a time of miraculous deliverance from God, and the chapter Revelation 12 talks about that. It talks about this battle between the dragon and the woman, and the woman stands for represents the church or God's people, the Jews, probably both of those, and how the dragon chases the woman and the woman runs away and the ground opens up its mouth. And it says there that the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days or 3.5 years. So there'll be those as well who go off grid. There'll be alternative communities where people are eating the food that they grow and they don't use money. They're outside of the world system. And I'm sure Christians will be, you know, hearing about it and going there secretly and praying for God's protection. And the Antichrist will be looking, trying to find those places, just as was in the last war with the Jews. That will happen again. The Bible says that there will be Christians on the world right at the end when Jesus comes back. There will be Christians all the way through. Probably a lot of Christians that have been miraculously protected by God. Now, next time, we're going to think about God's battle, how he starts blowing his war trumpets and unleashing his armies and his battle against the Antichrist. And he starts to actually literally come and take control of the world. So the next time I speak on this, that's the subject we're going to think about. And then the final one is about the rapture and the second coming of Jesus and the thousand-year reign. So when will these things happen? We don't know. It could be in your lifetime. If not in your lifetime, the lifetime of your children or your grandchildren. And as I've said many times, there are 150 chapters in the Bible where the main subject is the end times. And God isn't a God who wastes his breath. You know, he didn't put these things there just for our amusement. He put them there for our instruction and our preparation, so that at the right time, when we see these things happening, then we'll know what to do and we'll know what to expect and what's about to happen on the earth. Jesus said, be prepared. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we see increasingly dramatic things happening in our world, in the politics of our nation, in the environments, Lord, with global destruction on a massive scale, Lord, environmental degradation, more people dying, more slaves than at any time in history. You say, watch and be ready, Lord. And so we have to confess we're not so familiar with these things, but we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you teach us? If this is important to you, let it become important to us as well. Help us to understand what you're saying in your word. Lord, speak to us and help us understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening patiently. That's the end of this service today. I don't know how many have come through there, but if there's people around, please welcome them and feel free to chat and befriend them. Otherwise, we'll have tea and coffee. And remember the special prayer meeting tonight at 6:30.